Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And it's November 15th. And the last time we had a live edition of this show was, I think, October 11th. So it has been a while due to a various number of reasons, like I talked about on Monday's episode of Behind the Work. But it's definitely great to be back in here. I think like 10 minutes ago I coughed and I felt like I halfway lost my voice. So hopefully it holds up. I don't know how that happened. But today we're going to talk about a new booklet. It's titled The Administration of the Spirit, A Study of How God Governs According to His Perfect Law of Love. From what I understand, this is only available for download at thetrumpet.com. It was written by Philadelphia Church of God Regional Director of the Western United States, Brian Davis. And it really is just a gem. I was studying this booklet throughout the past week and a half or so. And I just was blown away by all of the incredible details in this booklet about God's government. It really does help you increase your appreciation for God's ministry, all that they go through and deal with, and how they are trying to judge perfectly like Christ would. And it really does help you understand a lot better just exactly what their responsibilities are. And so I think this booklet is something of great value for anybody to study. If you really think about it, every problem that human beings have just does come back to not obeying government. And whether that means blatantly, openly rebelling against what we're told to do, or if it just means out of weakness, failing to obey what God says. And really, that weakness just amounts to not thinking it's worth it to conquer whatever problems we have to continue obeying God. So it really does come down to just a failure to obey. All the problems that we see, whether it's in a church or a family or a nation or around the world, just gets back to not obeying government. And it's especially tragic when that happens when we're talking about God's perfect government. It's always been perfect. For all eternity, his government has been perfect. For all the time that his government has ruled over human beings, it has been perfect, whether in the Old Covenant or the New Covenant. Regardless of all of that, no matter what we're talking about, God's government is perfect. This booklet sets that up really nicely. The first chapter is titled, How Does God Govern Today? And the second chapter is titled, A Life-Saving Ministry. These chapters really do expound on the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant governed God's relationship with ancient Israel. It was actually called, I believe in 1 Corinthians 3, the administration of death. Obviously, when you read that, you probably think, well, that sounds dark. That sounds unpleasant. But really what it's talking about is a civil government. It's much like the governments of man today, except for God's government is way better and perfect. But it's talking about a government that governs civil offenses. Basically, if there's an infraction, no matter the reason for it or the circumstances surrounding it, there has to be a specific penalty that is enacted every time. Much like today, the death penalty or a certain amount of years in prison for different offenses. It doesn't really matter what your attitude was when you committed that offense. You are going to pay that specific punishment or that specific amount of time. That's what a civil government is. It does govern human physical offenses more so. It doesn't really take into account the spirit behind it. Now, 1 Corinthians 3 does say that God's administration of death was perfect. there wasn't anything wrong with the way that ancient Israel was governed under God. The problem actually was with the people. The people just couldn't obey. Even on a physical level, ancient Israel just couldn't obey God. They couldn't do what's right, even if they wanted to on a physical level. They were unconverted. They were carnal. They were swayed by wrong attitudes and emotions. Satan really was easily able to get control of them. But that doesn't mean there was a problem with the way of doing things in the Old Covenant. But then 1 Corinthians 3 describes the New Covenant way of doing things, and it calls it the administration of the Spirit. This is totally different from the administration of death. The administration of death didn't allow for repentance. If you committed the crime, you absolutely had to pay the punishment no matter what. Now, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, God's people can actually repent. They can make real changes, and the ministry can see that, and they can judge accordingly on how to deal with people on a case-by-case basis. They can apply the spirit of the law. That's what chapter 3 talks about in this booklet, The Administration of the Spirit. Again, you can get this for free at thetrumpet.com. Chapter 4 is the weightier matters of the law. Chapter 5, administering the royal love of God. Mainly today, though, we're just going to focus on chapter 2, which, again, is titled A Life-Saving Ministry. Like I said, this book, it really is incredibly inspiring. And it does increase your understanding. And that, even for me, a lot of my family members are ministers. A lot of people I've been around my whole life are ministers. And yet I've never understood so clearly just what their job entails until I read this booklet. Here on page 14 of chapter 2, Mr. Davis writes, "In ancient Israel, the physical details based on God's spiritual law were often very specific. Today, God's ministers usually don't have such specifics that outline courses of action. In this priestly order, there isn't always just one way to handle a situation. The Bible is the manual God intends his ministers to use, and he expects his new covenant administration to draw close to him and to use his Holy Spirit in applying the spiritual principles found in his word." Again, applying the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law, but of course the letter of the law as well. Like I said, 2 Corinthians 3, I hope I said that earlier. Maybe I said 1 Corinthians. It's definitely 2 Corinthians where it talks about this old covenant administration versus the new covenant administration. And the Apostle Paul explains how you can discern whether ministers are true ministers. There in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 through 3, you can see that, as Mr. Davis writes, the proof of a faithful minister is godly fruit in the lives of God's people. This is not a checklist ministry written with ink, but rather a ministry where the Spirit of God is used to write God's law on the members' hearts and into their minds. As you can see, it's very different from the way it was done in the Old Covenant, where you had carnal people who really, without God's Holy Spirit, they were not capable of obeying God's perfect spiritual law. And they failed many times, and God punished them according to the offense. Now, when the Holy Spirit is available to God's people, repentance is then possible. And because of that repentance, the ministry can decide where to go after that repentance happens. And then Mr. Davis does make it clear, the Old Covenant, though it was perfect, was far inferior to the New Covenant. Even if you just look at the names of those two, which one would you rather be under? The administration of death or the administration of the Spirit? It seems like the choice is pretty obvious. It seems like this, whatever the administration of the Spirit is, it definitely sounds a lot better than the administration of death. And that is actually true. It's very important, though, to realize that Paul is not putting down the Old Covenant. he's saying again that it's perfect except for that the ancient Israelites did not have the heart to obey. They just couldn't do it. They fell short of their spectacular marriage agreement with God. Today, though, we have a chance to actually live up to our new covenant agreement. And of course, we sin and we fall short a lot. But because of the chance to repent, the chance to grow in character, the chance to really build God's mind in our own minds, the new covenant is superior. And we can follow through and live up to that marriage covenant in the new covenant. Here's what it says about, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. We'll just read that first. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament or covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Mr. Davis writes here on page 16, God's ministers are ministers of the Spirit, not of the letter. While the old covenant was both glorious and good, it did not allow for repentance. It did not lead to a change of heart. It could not lead to salvation. The end result was still death. A very different covenant there. And we should all be thankful that there is a new covenant now and that we can understand God's plan for us a lot better. The ancient Israelites probably didn't know their future. They probably didn't know God's master plan very well. And if they had known that vision better, maybe it would have been a little bit more likely for them to obey. Hebrews chapter 5 describes Jesus Christ as our high priest. And on page 18, Mr. Davis writes, the realization that Christ is our high priest should motivate every decision God's ministers make as his administrators. He talks about the importance of fervent prayer, not just putting in time. The ministers have to really cry out to God, or else they will not be able to apply the law the way God would. He says here on page 18, helping God's people is not a matter of searching a manual to find out how to deal with a problem. The job of God's ministers is more than just implementing and enforcing a list of do's and don'ts. With that said, some decisions are indeed black and white. When applying God's law, his administration must never compromise. If someone is creating division, for example, God's course of action is clear. However, much of how the ministry must deal with God's people is not black and white. Finding the right course of action requires Spirit-led discernment. Being ministers of Jesus Christ means using Christ's own mind to determine the appropriate course of action. We must pour our hearts out to God, to the one who is able to save his precious family from death. So you see here, it is a tough job. What the ministers have to do is complicated. Could you imagine trying to deal with hundreds of God's people on a case-by-case basis, knowing when exactly to apply the letter of the law and have an exact punishment for an offense versus considering that some of those decisions are not black and white? Could you really understand when to enforce do's and don'ts versus when to really apply the spirit of the law more based on the attitude, based on repentance? It would be really difficult if we were going to try to do that by ourselves. Thankfully, the ministry has God's mind, and they pray for that all the time. I think sometimes it can be easy to maybe think of the ministers as people who are just going to try to search out a fault in us. Maybe they're just on the prowl. They're looking out for where we have fallen short. And yet, it's really not like that at all. Here in Edmond, our local congregation has been having in-home visits where the local ministers will go to all the members' homes. And a couple months ago, our family hosted one of those. The minister and his wife came over, and we ended up talking for an entire hour and a half. And not once did he say, so when are you going to tell me about your sins, your shortcomings? It never came to that at all. It was just a loving conversation with a spiritual elder, someone we must greatly respect because their entire job involves serving us. It was just a wonderful time with the minister and his wife at our home. We talked about all manner of different things, just about life, about interests, about experiences. And it never got into a dark, scary interrogation. That's not what the ministry is there to do. Here on page 21 of the Administration of the Spirit booklet, Mr. Davis writes, "As the high priest of the new administration, Jesus Christ is able to literally save people. God's ministers are part of the new administration. They actually have a part to play in saving people." That is just a beautiful description of the ministry. That's the way we need to look at them. Not as an extension of our human parents who might give us a figurative spanking if we do something wrong, but as people who literally live to try to save us, who live to try to help us in any way they can, and they sacrifice many hours, many days and weeks just working with one person sometimes, as long as that person is willing to be worked with. And that's what Mr. Davis says here on page 22. God's ministers work tirelessly in this endeavor to strengthen people and lead them to salvation. This can mean working for hours on end with a member to help him or her overcome a serious problem. It can also mean removing someone from the church in order to save him or to save an entire congregation. Only a minister who is close to God can discern the difference. We cannot turn to a page in a manual and figure out what to do. A minister making these types of decisions must be on his knees, crying out to God to allow Jesus Christ to lead him into the best course of action that will help to save people. He is the high priest who knows how to save people. Apart from God, ministers simply cannot do the job, and serious mistakes will be made. So this is a really serious job. Imagine having the eternal lives of many people under your care and trying to work with them in the way that best suits each specific person. Trying to discern sometimes whether to keep giving someone a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth chance in the church as long as they are diligently striving to grow, versus sometimes having to remove a person if the rest of the people, the rest of the members, are being harmed by their presence. And even when that does happen, even when there is a suspension, a disfellowshipment, a marking, it's always done with the best in mind, even for that individual person. No matter how severely that person may have departed from God, the ministers are always hoping and praying for them to repent and return to the church. They always have the best possible outlook in mind. And wouldn't they have to really pray for positivity, considering some of the situations they have to deal with, some of the problems they know about? I know my uncle, Mr. Stephen Fleury, has often said that he thankfully is blessed with the ability to forget about a lot of the specific problems that he's had to learn about people over the years through counseling. It's not something where the ministry writes down all of our problems and holds them against us forever. I've had to tell my uncle and a lot of other ministers some pretty serious things, and there's a pretty good chance they don't even remember that because it was a long time ago. And they're not holding that against us. They want to see us grow. They're helping us in any way they possibly can. They're not judging us in any way because that is God's job. God's the one who is looking after us and deciding how well we are qualifying for our future. The ministry is just there to help. Again, not to interrogate, not to put down, not to lord people's problems over them, but to help them, to pluck them from the fire, so to speak, if that is what is necessary. Again, this is such a common problem, not just in any church, but in many families in the entire world, this rebellion toward government or rebellion against government. It's common because think about who the first person or the first being to rebel was. It was Lucifer. He became Satan, and now he's the biggest rebel there's ever been in all of history. And he's trying to convince everybody else, every other angel, every human being, to rebel just like he did. Except for what he usually doesn't inform us of is how twisted and dark and miserable and perverted he is. And he's just in a rage because of his government problem. That's not what we want in our lives. We can't think of the ministry in a bad way. That's exactly what Satan would want. Mr. Davis continues here in the booklet, and he's speaking about Hebrews 8, page 23. The old covenant is no longer in effect. Then he quotes Hebrews 8, verse 6. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. So you have a better ministry, a better covenant, and better promises. How thankful are we that we get to be a part of this administration of the Spirit? We get to submit to that administration rather than the administration of death. Of course, God is merciful. All of those ancient Israelites who didn't know any better and who failed to obey him will have another chance when they're resurrected. But how great is it to know during this life how to live the right way, to be a part of this better covenant, to be able to repent, to be able to understand God's plan, to have that vision in our minds so that we can better obey. This better covenant is established on better promises. Everything about the covenant is different. As long as the Israelites could obey the old covenant in the limited ways that they actually did, they received national blessings, physical prosperity, protection from enemies. But now, under the new covenant, there is a much greater reward. Eternal promises, eternal life, marrying Jesus Christ. And as Mr. Davis says here, the ministry of the church is privileged to be part of this more excellent ministry. And this must be something that's in their minds all the time. How blessed they are, how humbling it is to have this important of a responsibility in shepherding God's flock. Page 23 again. What was the problem with the old covenant? Hebrews 8, verse 8, he quotes here, "For finding fault with them, he said, 'Behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.'" Again, the old covenant problem was the people. They didn't have access to the Holy Spirit. They broke their word. They broke the covenant. Thankfully, today, we do have access to the Holy Spirit. We do have a chance to repent when we go off track. And the ministry is there helping us every step of the way. We'll just conclude here with a quote from page 25. "The administration of the Spirit under the leadership of Jesus Christ allows for mercy, repentance, change, and conversion. God's ministers operate with this reality in mind as they work with his people. If one of God's people maintains a humble, teachable attitude, and he or she is not causing division, there is room to work with that person for a long time to help him or her overcome." So today we've been talking about a new booklet at thetrumpet.com titled The Administration of the Spirit, written by Mr. Brian Davis. We've mainly been covering chapter 2 of this booklet, A Life-Saving Ministry. I would highly recommend that you go find this booklet online and study this for yourself. It talks a lot more about exercising the weightier matters of the law, how much judgment, mercy, faith, and love the ministers must have, what exactly it means to have a life-sacrificing love for the brethren. And it really will help you appreciate so much more the vitally important role of the ministry in the church. So thank you very much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.